This is a reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." The word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we can come before you in freedom. We can come before you with all that is on our hearts. We can come before you with all that is on our lives. We thank you this morning that we can be here as a congregation to worship you, to hear from your Holy Scripture. I pray that our hearts are open to what you have to say to us, that you would mold us and make us in the way that you want, the way that pleases you. And may you speak through Jeremy, bring him comfort and boldness to preach your word. And may he also be edified by what he preaches. We all need you, Father, and we thank you that your word provides life to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I encourage you to leave your Bibles open to Mark chapter 4 so that we can look at it together and try to make sense of these parables today. This is a whole chapter of parables. And you know, a lot of times when we think about the parables, if you are familiar with the Bible and you know the way that Jesus taught in these parables, we often kind of think about them as these wonderfully illustrative stories that Jesus used to help people understand what the kingdom of God was all about. And we often kind of lift them up in this great way. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. But as we look at the scripture, and as we read, especially in the Gospel of Mark, and as we consider what how the people respond to the parables, we realize something that's really important. Most people in Jesus' day had no idea what he was talking about. They heard the words, but they didn't really understand it. And I wonder how many others over the generations since Jesus have been in the same boat. That's the reason we're calling this series Crazy Talk. Because crazy talk is kind of what it might have sounded like for people to hear Jesus talk in these parables and wonder what in the world he was trying to get across. And these parables that we just read may appear to be like a simple parable about a lamp or a simple story about a measuring stick, but actually, in these few verses, Jesus is making an incredibly important point about the kingdom of God and about himself. And if the Lord helps us right now in this moment to truly hear God's word this morning, if the Lord helps us to be good soil that hears and receives the word of God, then it can be more than just crazy talk for us. But in fact, it can be life-changing talk. It can be transformational talk. This message right now, not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit of God is here and is working in this moment, this message for you could be something that changes your life forever. And if you don't believe that, then I'm asking you to believe it right now. That the Lord could use this time, no matter how long you've been coming to church, whether it's your first time or you're here all the time, whether you think you've got it all nailed or you have no idea what I'm talking about, this could be the moment, a moment that changes your life forever. So may the Lord help us today to truly hear what he wants us to hear and receive. And when we look at today's passage, it's that call to hear that is right literally at the center of it. And often when you look at a piece of scripture, the thing that is right in the middle is the most important thing. And so if you are a person who writes in your Bible, you're going to be excited because I want you to actually add some brackets in the text this morning. The first one goes right before verse 23, right in the NIV where it says the word if. And the second one goes right after the word continued, which is in the middle of verse 24. Make some brackets right there. And if you're the type of person who brings multiple colors of pens to church with you, I know you're out there. Don't be ashamed. then you can use a particular color to just highlight or underline that particular section, because Jesus says right in the middle of these two parables something that's really important. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. The theme of hearing is really important in this section of Mark. And we all know that he's not just talking about like audibly hearing the words. He's talking about something deeper than just hearing the words that a person is saying or that Jesus is saying. Hearing means understanding. It means truly listening, as if to receive something from Jesus. Hearing means heeding. It means putting into practice what Jesus is saying. So hearing means submitting to Jesus' word. Hearing is a loaded word in Mark chapter 4. Let him who has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. It reminds us, it should remind you of the parable of the soils, where we talked about last week. Jesus describes the soil that is hard and cannot hear, and then he describes the soil that's rocky, which hears, but then the word doesn't really take root because of the rocks, and then the soil that is full of thorns, so that soil hears, but it isn't able to bear fruit, multiply, because the thorns choke out the word. And then finally, Jesus gets to the good stuff. He says the good soil, and the good soil is soil that people or hearts that truly hear and receive the God's word and then produce out of that an abundant crop as they continue to hear. And in many ways, today's passage just continues that theme that started right above. These are not like a whole new subject. They're totally related to that soils parable right above. But first is a parable about revelation, and then is a parable about provision. I wish I could have made those rhyme, but I couldn't figure it out. So revelation and then provision. Verses 21 and 22 are about revelation, God's revelation. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." In Jesus' day, the houses were pretty dark inside. We had the privilege of going into what was like a first century house when we were there a couple years ago. And it's dark. There aren't these big, beautiful glass windows or amazing sunroof, except maybe Peter's house might have had a sunroof after the guys broke through and lowered the paralytic down in. Ooh, light. But normally it was dark, really dark inside the houses. And so they would use these oil lamps, these clay lamps filled with oil, and they would light them up and they'd put them up on the wall. And its purpose was to light the room. So this is then a very rhetorical question. The answer is obvious to everyone listening. Of course, the purpose of a lamp is to put it up on its stand so that it can provide light to the whole room. But here's the deal. In the original language, Greek, there are clues that this isn't just a regular lamp that Jesus is talking about. There's something deeper going on here. First of all, it uses the definite article. It's not just a lamp. It is the lamp. And then, in the original language, the verb that we have translated in the NIV as bring, who brings a lamp, that verb is not a verb that you would normally use for an inanimate object. It's a verb that you would talk about with a person coming, a person being brought, or a person coming themselves. And then finally, in the NIV, the translation that we read, the lamp is the object of the sentence. But in the original language, the lamp is the subject of the sentence. Now, if you didn't like English class, just bear with me for a minute. Remember what the object and the subject is, right? The object is the thing that receives the action. And what is the subject? The thing that does the action, okay? So the object and the subject. In the original language, the word lamp is the subject of the sentence. The lamp. comes. In other words, the right way to probably accurately read it was be, does the lamp come to be put under a bowl or a bed? In other words, the lamp is the subject. The lamp brings itself. This lamp is not an ordinary lamp. There's something deeper going on here. And in the Old Testament, we know that the lamp is used as a metaphor to talk about God, or to talk about the Messiah, or to talk about the Scripture. Some of us grew up on a song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Right? Psalm 119. So, Jesus is saying not just a random thing about some random lamp. Jesus is talking about Himself. The Word of God, the eternal Word of God. Or at least He's talking about the message that He is bringing. So verse 21 is the parable. Verse 22 is the explanation of the parable. And to understand what the explanation is about and what the parable is all about, we need to remember what came above it in the Scripture, which is that Jesus is talking about what He said in verse 11. Look back to verse 11. In verse 11, Jesus essentially told the disciples that the secret of the kingdom had been given to them, but it had not been given yet to everyone. And He was using parables as a way to keep everyone from knowing fully what it was that He was talking about. So He gave them the secret. What is the secret of the kingdom of God? Well, the secret of the kingdom of God is Jesus. The secret is that the kingdom of God is coming in Him. It's the secret that Jesus is at the center of God's overarching plan over all creation for redemption, for His redeeming transformation, for the kingdom of God to come fully on earth as it is in heaven. All of that happens through Jesus. That's why there is nothing more important in life than choosing how you relate to Jesus. Nothing more important. But not everybody gets that. And Jesus' use of the parables is actually maintaining that secrecy. But what He's saying here in this parable is that this present secrecy about who Jesus really is and what He is really doing will not always be. It's a secret for now. It's hidden and concealed for now, but it's meant to be disclosed. It's meant to be made out in the open, to be brought out into the open. And God is the one who will reveal it. Look at verse 22, and it says, it meant to be disclosed. And then again it says, it is meant to be brought out into the open. Those are passives, and we call those divine passives. They're things that God is causing to happen. It's a common way of writing in the Greek. It's a way to describe what God is doing. The fullness of Jesus right now is hidden. But the time will come, Jesus is saying, that God will change that. A secret, it's a secret that's actually meant to be revealed, not kept a secret. In other words, it's like a great game of hide and seek. Do you remember hide and seek? How many of you have played hide and seek in the last month? Look at you, like you guys are awesome. Now, hide and seek's a great game, right? Especially if you play in a place where there's all kinds of good places to hide. And especially if you're playing with kids. Because my kids were like, they're like any kids, they help us remember what hide and seek is really about. Because when you play with your kids, guess what? They want to be found. Right? Here I am. You're like, no, you're supposed to hide until I find you. But they want to be found. But see, when we get older, we kind of realize maybe a little more strategy. We try to find a great hiding place and we hide. But I'll tell you right now, if you're playing hide and seek, if like we had a massive game of hide and seek right now, that'd be cool. But if we did that, if you went to hide somewhere and nobody ever came to find you, unless we were playing that alternate version of the game where you get to run back to home base and be safe, but just forget that. If we were playing the traditional way, where you have to stay where you are until someone comes and finds you. If no one ever came and found you, it would be a really bummer game, right? How boring would that be? Besides a little bit of pride, be like, I found the most awesome hiding place ever. After like a couple hours or a couple of days or a couple of weeks, I mean, you would be really bored of hiding. No, the purpose of hide and seek is to be found. You hide to be revealed. And that's the same way it is with Jesus. The truth about Jesus, about who He is, and what the Father has done through Him, was always meant to be ultimately revealed. The secret that Jesus told to the disciples about the kingdom of God will not remain a secret. That's what Jesus is saying. So the Expositor's Bible Commentary puts it this way. It says, though at present, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus guards His identity and privately explains the secret of the kingdom of God to His disciples, this hiddenness is temporary and is simply the means by which God is accomplishing His salvific purpose. The time will come when all such mysteries will be revealed and the glory of Christ and the kingdom will be evident to all. Jesus will be fully revealed in God's time. And so the parable of the lamp is a parable of God's revelation of Jesus Christ. Who He really is and what He is really accomplishing for eternity will be revealed. Even if the most powerful religious leaders reject Jesus, it will be revealed. Even if many are rejecting the message of Jesus, the glory will be revealed. Even if the culture looks like Jesus never existed, His glory will be revealed. Nothing can stop it. It's a parable of revelation. The next parable is related, but it's a parable about provision. And Jesus says, with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Now, on its face, that first sentence is a common proverb. According to the commentaries, it comes out of the grain industry. Kind of like if you dig into the pile of grain with a small bucket, you will get a small return. If you dig into the pile of grain with a large bucket, then you'll get a large return. So choose your bucket wisely, right? But this is about more than just reciprocity. This is about more than just you'll get out of it what you put into it. And it's about more than that because of God, because of the Holy Spirit. You see, once again, these are divine passives. When it says it will be measured to you and even more, it means God will measure it out to you and add it to you, add even more. So the measuring or the meaning of the parable, the meaning of the parable is that a person who truly hears the word of Jesus and receives it, the more a person does that, the more the truth about Jesus will be revealed to them. The more we do that, the more the truth comes. It's a parable about God's provision, not just physical provision, but relational provision. Whoever is with Jesus, remember we spent the last couple weeks talking a lot about whoever is with Jesus, what it means to be with Him. Jesus is going to be giving that person even more. And whoever is not with Jesus will remain in the dark. Reminds me of the song that we just said, you'll take me deeper and deeper because you're a good, good Father. Deeper still and deeper still, more and more and more. Again, from the Expositor's Bible Commentary, it says this, those who are open and receptive to the message of the kingdom now will receive greater and greater spiritual insight from further teaching. Those who are closed-minded and unresponsive will become more and more blind to spiritual realities. So just to review, we have the lamp parable. The lamp parable is about God's revelation about the truth of Jesus. Light always reveals what is true. And though the truth about Jesus was mostly hidden in the midst of His ministry, it was always meant to be revealed. And it will be completely revealed. And the measure parable is about God's provision. If you are good soil for God's word, if you are hearing continually and receiving the lordship of Jesus, then God will give you an even deeper experience of His lordship, even more of His grace, even more of His knowledge, even more intimacy with the Father. And right in the middle is Jesus' call. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He wants people to hear what he's saying. And so my question for you today is, what do you think it means for us as a church to be hearers of these parables today? What is it, do you think, that the Holy Spirit, who is at work right now, we talked about at the beginning, what is it that you think he wants to speak into your life? I encourage you to be praying about that this week, and asking the Lord, here's a few ideas that I feel like the Lord has given me for us. And the first one is about the person of Jesus. I said it last week, I'll say it again. There is nothing more important than the way that you are relating to Jesus. This scripture teaches us that, and the whole of the gospel teaches us that Jesus is the Son of God, whose life and death and resurrection was effective for God's work of redemption in your life and in the world. He is the only way, the ultimate truth, the author of all life, God's epic story of redemption, the story to take everything that is broken in the world and make it right for eternity, to erase evil from the face of the earth forever, to give eternal salvation to every single person, no matter what their background is, who entrust their lives to him. All of that centers on the work of Jesus. So, those who put their faith in Jesus, by God's grace, they will be saved. That's the promise of the gospel. But God's desire is to do more than simply make a transaction with you. God desires to transform you, to increasingly surrender your whole life to Jesus. He wants you to do that, and that will be a part of that transformation. There is no more important question than this, church. How are you relating to Jesus today? And so, friend, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, why not start today? Why not make this the moment when you say, okay, I'm in. And if you're a person who's never really made a surrendered relationship with Jesus the very defining center of your everyday life, why not start today? There is nothing more important than the way that you are relating to Jesus. That's the first thing that I think this parable helps us to consider because of who Jesus is and what he has done. But the second thing is this. No more hiding. Several weeks ago when I made this sermon series, I assigned this title, No More Hiding, to the scripture because of I was thinking about Jesus and what Jesus says about himself. That he's in secret right now about who he is, but the time will come when it's totally revealed. There'll be no more hiding about who Jesus is. And that's still true of the text, but the more I worked the text this week and prayed about it and thought about it, the more I realized actually that the title was really meant for us. No more hiding. I've shared this story before, but when I was in seminary, I was on a basketball team of seminary guys and gals, and we won the intramural championship. And instead of a championship trophy, we were given championship t-shirts, a close second to a trophy, I would say. And we agreed that we would wear our championship t-shirts for the photograph that was going to be put in the school newspaper. Yes, we were pretty famous. I mean, it was a pretty big deal. But the day of the photograph, I came with my t-shirt covered by a long sleeve shirt. And when I got to the place where we were meeting for the picture, one of my teammates who realized what I had done looked at me with a perfectly straight face and said, "Hide it under a bushel." No! And if you don't know what that's about, there's an old song that we grew up singing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Hide it under a bushel. No. So it was awesome. I laughed. But I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you and to me. Hide it under a bushel. No. No more hiding. No more hiding. Beloved, when Jesus comes back, everything that is true is going to be revealed. He's going to come back, and he is the judge of the living and the dead. And when he comes back, everyone is going to see the fullness of his glory, the fullness of his power. That's the promise of the lamp parable. He has been revealed. He's been revealed to you and to me. He hasn't been revealed. I mean, not fully has he been yet revealed, but he will be fully revealed when he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But between right now and then, do you know how he is revealing himself? It's through the Spirit-filled people of God. He's revealing himself now through us. Every single one of us who is in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit of God is meant to participate in the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. And not just through our quiet and pious actions, but also through our bold love of our neighbors and through the courageous sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's been planted into us by the Spirit. No more hiding. You have been given a secret. The secret that's meant to be revealed, holding on to it is like playing hide and seek but never being found. It's not the way that you were designed to live. No, you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God to be part of God revealing the truth about Jesus to the world. The lamp is not meant to be hidden. Hide it under a bushel. No, we can't hide anymore from the reality of what Jesus has put in us to share and to live out in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and in our workplaces, wherever we are. And Jesus said, with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you and even more. What a gift from God. It's not just this for that. It's not just I put this in so I get an equal payback. No, it's as we step into it, we get even more. So when we hide who we are in Christ, it's like using a tiny little measuring cup for our faith. There's a little faith because there's little risk. And God is gracious. Don't hear me wrong. He can do amazing things with a tiny amount of faith. We'll hear more about that next week through a vessel that's tiny. But if you want to grow in faith, beloved, if you want to increase in faith, then no more hiding. No more hiding behind any kind of excuses that hold you back. If you want to grow in faith, then you need to step out in faith. Because when there is great risk, there is great faith. And that great faith is what we need in today's world to show the world what it means to live in Christ. There is no more room, I guess, for that's probably too strong to say. I think God wants us to have great faith. God's grace is sufficient for us. But I believe he wants us to have great faith. To have great faith, we have to take great risk. We have to step out in faith. We have to put ourselves out there. That's why in my life, the times that I've grown the most are the times that I've risked the most. If I'm sitting comfortably and living comfortable Christianity, getting fat around the belly and hanging out on the couch in my life with Christ, I am not growing except lazy. When I step out in faith, when I risk, that's when I've grown. And let me just remind you of this truth. There is no need to hide. There is no need to hide. Beloved, if you are in Christ, your eternal hope is absolutely secure. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, there is nothing that can keep Jesus from his mission. There is nothing that can separate you from his love. There is no power on earth that is greater than the Holy Spirit living in you. So may we surrender everything to Christ. No more hiding, no more holding back, no more trying to live differently than the way that God made us to live. Let us be going forward with abandon. May we hide it under a bushel. No, no. If anyone has ears to hear, may they hear. No more hiding. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your word. And we thank you, Jesus, for the way that you are revealing yourself. We thank you for the way that you have revealed yourself to us. It's not because of any amazing thing that we've done or how awesomely smart we are or something that we worked hard enough to figure out on our own. Everyone here who has come to faith in Jesus has received a gift from you. A gift that's beyond what we put in. A gift that's beyond what we measured with. A gift that changes our entire life forever. But Lord, we thank you that you have more for us. You have more intimacy, more grace, more love, more purpose, more for us to experience. So help us to be people that aren't hiding. Not hiding from one another, not hiding from you, not hiding behind the safe walls of the church or our lives or our homes. Help us to be people with great faith, with great courage. Not because of our own strength, but because of you, Jesus. Because, Holy Spirit, you live within us. And there is nothing on this earth more powerful than you. You who are in us is greater than he who is in the world. May we believe it. That you are the one who is mighty to save. Not just mighty to save us, but mighty to save all the rest who you've chosen for salvation. Mighty to change this world. To take away every evil thing, to bring justice on every corner in every neighborhood, to bring shalom in every home, to do your thing. You are powerful enough. You are strong enough. May we, your people, be full of faith in following you. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone who agrees with us, let's stand and sing together. Prayer team is here, and they would love to pray with anybody who feels like they need to step out in faith, or they have stepped out in faith and they need the Lord to show up, or anything else that is going on. They're just going to come forward and be here ready to pray. May the Lord shine his light through us this week as we live as his people, full of his grace, full of the Holy Spirit, trusting in him, relating with him as our intimate Lord and Savior, doing what he asks us to do, measuring with a really big bucket so that it might be measured back to us with even more. And that's, if that's what you want, I invite you to just receive this blessing from him as you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you his perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all of God's people said, amen. Go in peace.